This morning we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, continuing from last week. We'll be reading from verse 12, and also we'll be looking at a few verses in chapter 4 as well. Colossians 3 verse 12, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." And then in chapter 4, from verse 2, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in the bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Well, they were lovely verses. Mark encouraged us last week in the first half of Colossians chapter 3, and our minds were upon the fact that we have to put to death the old ways, the sinful nature. And we talked about many of the things that make up the sinful nature, things I guess that we're all familiar with, things like anger, covetousness, unholiness and things like that. And we certainly need to be prayerful that we are to put those things to death. And tonight, of course, will be an exciting night, as we know that two of our brothers and one of our sisters is going to be baptised. And of course, a very important part of baptism is that it symbolises that we are dying to our old self and that we are to be raised up in Christ. And this is what I'd like to concentrate on this morning, the things that make up a person who is risen in Christ. So we are to put to death the old nature, and I'm reminded of a funny little story which I hope you won't mind me just sharing with you quickly. And many of you may know Brother John Dunk from up the Central Coast, and the story goes that he was trying to encourage a younger sister, a new sister in the Lord, and he said to this sister, "You need to get rid of the old man." And poor sister looked at him, and she didn't quite know what he was trying to say, but he later clarified it to her. But it's very true that we do have to put to death our old nature and the old man. I believe the main thing that comes through when we read Colossians chapter 3 is that our old nature, the old man, is something that is at enmity with God, and it's very important for us. if we are to be Christ-like and we are to live the new life. If we do this, we will bring God honour and the glory that he so rightly deserves. If we are not Christ-like, we will bring him dishonour. And of course, we can only be the new man through the Lord's strength. And we can only be the new man if we choose to be. Tozer writes that we are as Christ-like as we choose to be. And it is very important, depending on how much of the Lord we allow to be within ourselves, greatly affects those around us, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. If we are Christ-like, then we won't be a stumbling block to them, but rather we will build them up. And also to the unbelievers, how important it is that we are Christ-like for them. It's also important for ourselves, isn't it? For our own peace in our hearts, for our own happiness. And certainly the more Christ-like we are, the more truly happy we would be. And of course, it greatly affects God how Christ-like we are, because we know it costs the Lord a great deal to redeem us. And he dearly wants us to be like the Lord Jesus. Okay, so what are these things that make us Christ-like? The first thing it says in verse 12, starting off, it says that we are to put on bowels of mercy. We are to get rid of anger and wrath, but we are to put on compassion, and we are to be merciful. We are to put on the new man because we are the elect of God. We are the elect of God, holy and beloved. And we really need to conduct ourselves in that way. As well as being merciful, we are to show kindness. And I thought about this, and I guess what came to my mind was that there's really three types of kindness. There's people that are unkind, and they're always unkind. There are people that are kind, but can be unkind. And there are people that are kind, and are always kind. And we should ask ourselves, what are we like? Do we show kindness to the unbeliever? And I believe this is so important today, that there are so many around us that are lost, and that need to see kindness from us. And it certainly does add weight to our witness. If we're trying to show them the way to the Lord, if we act kindly to them, it certainly speaks to them more than anything else. You would say it's living your Christianity. The next thing is humbleness of mind. Here again, I've read these verses so many times, but when you really look at them slowly, you can see there's a lot more to learn in them. And humbleness of mind is another one. Because as Christians, I believe we can act humble, and yet in our minds, there can be a lack of humility. Another thing is meekness. And then the verse goes on to say long-suffering. I couldn't help but when I read all these verses that I thought, how short I fall myself. And often you think to yourself, well, you feel as though you're living quite right before the Lord, but when you really stop and look at it, there's so many areas that need to be strengthened and need improving. But what about long-suffering? Let's ask ourselves, how much does it take for us to be put offside with a brother or a sister? Does it take a lot? Well, it should take a great deal, shouldn't it? And also, we need to be long-suffering to the unbeliever. And of course, because the Lord Jesus was long-suffering toward us. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another, as Christ forgave you. And again, how important forgiveness is. I couldn't count how many times I've heard someone get up and talk about that we need to forgive each other. And yet I believe, sadly, that we're still very slow to learn to forgive one another. But how important it is. And certainly things will go wrong, and there will be differences. We can't all be exactly the same or agree on everything, but we need to be ready to forgive. And then above all, put on love. I like ending on a positive note. Put on love. I thought of the chorus that I sang when I was a younger fellow in youth group. It says, "By this will all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." Well, isn't there a lot there? Can we do all this? Well, there's more. Verse 15 encourages us or exhorts us to go on, and it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart." And again, we need to ask ourselves, does the peace of God rule in our heart? I've read that verse many times too, but I guess when I looked at it more closely, something new came to me from it. And that is of ruling. If something rules, it prevails and it governs and it has the priority. And our hearts need to be governed by the peace of God. And what a difference that makes when we are. How close we can be to the Lord. And again, we are called to be one body and to be at peace one with another. And finally, be ye thankful. I believe this is something that it's very dear to God's heart. It's very, very important. It's something that he loves, and that is that he loves to see a thankful heart. He loves to see you and I be thankful to him for all that he's done, and to live in a thankful spirit. And something that parents are always striving to do is to teach their children to be thankful. If somebody gives them something or does something for them, they need to learn to be thankful. And we too need to say thank you to the Lord. And verse 16 reads, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom." The word dwell, of course, means to live in. Let the word of God live in us. And if something lives in us, we have a choice again. The word of God can be our master, or it can be our servant. Many people today have the word of God dwelling in them. But does it dwell in them richly? For many it dwells poorly. But we are exhorted here that the word of God may dwell in us richly and in all wisdom. The reason for this is to make us good Christian people. It's simply that the word of God can sustain us. And if we allow it to dwell in us richly, then we are able to be an encouragement to each other. We are able to have a unity in Christ, and we are able to be an effective witness to those that are around us. Okay, then we look at the second half of 16, which is a little bit of a different angle, and it says we are to teach and correct each other in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Not much I want to say there, except that we're to do this not in a "I know better than you" type of attitude. I'm sure that's not what the Lord means there, but rather that we want to teach and encourage each other and correct each other in order to build each other up, and also that others can build us up. We need to be open so that others can teach and correct us as well. In psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Colossians 4, verse 2. What we read just then, I believe, is very many important basic Christian principles or attitudes and things that we need to have evident in our lives to show that we are new men and that we are Christ-like. And God is preparing us. It's a continual thing that He prepares us to be Christ-like, to be the salt of the earth, so that we can help those around us, and that also that we would bring Him glory and honour. Colossians 4 then says, to continue in prayer with thanksgiving. There we hear it again, thanksgiving is important, and it should be a part of every prayer. And then with all also praying for us. So Paul even asks that we would pray, that the Colossians would pray for him. Okay, and so we are prepared. I just think of, I often have someone come up to me and say, you know, I'll be praying for you this morning. I think someone said it to me today. Or I'll be praying for you about this. And we do encourage each other to pray for each other, to pray for someone, but I think it's good if someone asks us if we would pray for them too. And I think that's something we don't always do, but we shouldn't be afraid to. Okay. And so if we walk in wisdom to them that are without, if we do this, our lives are consistent with what we are trying to share with unbelievers. Redeeming the time. What does redeeming the time mean? Well, many things, but I would say that we need to eagerly and earnestly seek opportunities and use those opportunities because the days are short. We use these opportunities to do good to unbelievers so that we may be a help to them, that they may see the Lord Jesus in us. Finally, let your speech always be with grace. Well, that's very specific, isn't it? Let your speech always be with grace. So you know how you ought to answer every man. And I was just saying to Jenny the other day that many people I know that don't know the Lord, that there seems to be a real barrier with so many of them. That they are just so determined to live their life the way they see best, but not to consider God or His love for them. And I thought, well, you've got to keep persevering with them. But also, we need to have an answer for them. And there are many, man's wisdom is that he would have difficult arguments for us that may be hard for us to answer people with about the Lord. But there is also a verse that says that men's wisdom to God is foolishness. And so if we look to the Lord, if we abide in Him, then I believe He will give us the answers that we can use to answer every man. So they're just my thoughts on those verses. And let our prayer be that we would all be more Christ-like, and that this would be for the honour and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.